The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It gives me great, great pleasure to welcome Rita Han Higgins to the News Talk studios. The poet and author. I hold her latest collection in my hand, The Long Weekend. Rita, listen, thanks a million for joining us.
Oh, my great pleasure, Kieran.
Yeah, no, and congratulations on the collection.
Thanks a million.
How do you feel when these are kind of released into the world? Is it a relief that it's done?
It's scary in some ways because you are exposing yourself whether you like it or not, and especially in this collection, as it's a kind of a more personal collection than I'd be used to hiding behind poems, but I'm kind of in front of them in this collection. So it's a mixed blessing. You love having it out. And then where do you go? Because you're not writing poems at the moment then when it comes out. You have to kind of push it a little bit. And so, but it's great.
What inspired you to write poetry that's maybe more personal now than it has been in the past?
Well, it all came from a phone call from Gil, from Teresa and Teresa Daly. And she said, this was a good while back, and she said, we'd like to do a book with you if you were interested, and we'd like it to be maybe about the Irish seasons or the Irish calendar or what goes on between December 1 year and the last day of December in that year. You know, a whole year, what goes on in our calendar lives, and could I speak to that? And that was my brief. And that's what I did, you know. So it kind of brought me through childhood and, you know, when I was looking for the poems, when I was searching for the poems in my own heart and mind, I found them in at Christmas and All Souls Day, All Saints Day, St. Brendan's Feast Day, St. Kevin's Feast. You know, a lot of stuff came up that I wouldn't even have thought about. And they were... they were nearly done, they were done, they were half done, they were fully done. You know, so it went on. We were nearly there, we were there, and then we were there.
Does it, because it's more personal, does it make you more sensitive to people's interpretation of the poem?
Oh, I never mind interpretation.
Okay.
It's a bonus. If people interpret your poem, then you know what it's about for the next reading. You can say, this poem is about, because, you know, somebody would say, I love that poem about where that man fell on the stile. And you would say to yourself, well, that wasn't what it was about at all. But that doesn't matter. You're open to interpret poems whatever way you like. And like, you're just helping lazy me for the next time I have to introduce it. I can take something from what some person at a reading said to me. So it's open-ended, like, you know, you can interpret it as you will. So that's the best thing about poetry too, because you can open a poem and look at it and take what you want from it.
Yeah, but which is flies in the face of the way we are exposed to poetry in school, where we're told, you know, this is the meaning of this poem that you must learn.
But things have changed a lot. I think English teachers, the length and breadth of the country now, are fantastic. You know, I had my grandson text me from school one day. He shouldn't have. And he said, Your Immortals is on our English. He's in transition year now. So this would be leaving cert, maybe hidden poetry or whatever they say. I don't know. But he said, The Immortals was the name of the poem. He said, I'll get the inside story. He so will.
Yeah.
But
Wouldn't it be funny if the English teacher didn't know this? I said, no, you've got that all wrong now.
No, but the English teachers now are fantastic. They want the students to open their minds and say, what do you think? It's about this, as far as we know. This is what Yeats said. This is what Heaney said. But what do you think? Have you anything to... They give the youngsters the option. I love that. I love that about today's educational system.
What's your favourite time of year? Independent of the poetry for a moment.
I like the summer because I always feel really, really healthy in the summer. I don't have any pains and aches. There's lots of pains in the book. I just feel really healthy and rejuvenated after vitamin D of the sun. And I know people love Christmas and love... Spring is nice too. Spring and fall and summer. So we're leaving out winter because we have, you know, I don't love it as much because we have so much winter. We have a wet, you know, we have that climate, the damp climate. But I do
it's
love
in
the
on
summer.
Your bones.
Yeah.
Have you a favourite poem?
I do not. I don't have.
I bet you do.
No, I don't. I don't have
like
favourite.
It's like when you say, have you a favourite child? And people say, of course I don't.
No, I love my both my daughters equally. But I'll read this one.
It's called
All Souls Day. Novembers were dark and the responsibility was great. You had to get the souls out of purgatory. Write their names down, no matter how distant a relative they were. Be sure and place the list in the altar cavity where God's messenger on earth would find it. He loved a game of hide and seek. Always be afraid. Have guilt and shame in equal measure. Don't forget to pray and pray. You have a responsibility to the souls in purgatory. You are 8. Don't let others sense your fear. Pray more. Don't leave anyone caught in the flames.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's kind of a fitting time of year to be reading.
It is, because it's starting to get darker and All Souls. Now, there was much more emphasis on that as a child, you know, on the praying for the dead and praying. And you listed everybody.
Yeah.
And you went then and put your list into the church. And
well, my daughter is 8.
Yeah.
And that would be an alien description to her now.
Oh, no. When I was 8, that's what we had to do. And, you know, and All Saints then was easier. All Saints Day was, All Souls was a darker day, you know. And then All Saints was very near it, but it was a lighter day because there was something joyous. You were praying to the saints, but on All Souls, you just had to get these poor devils out of purgatory. That was your job, basically.
Yeah.
So you have the residues of that, the residue of that in your life. You can shed so much, but you know, like memory. It's not that I'm haunted by it. I don't mind at all.
Yeah.
I don't mind religiosity. I don't mind holy stuff. I'm not holy, and I'm not religious, but I don't mind it.
When you say you're not holy or religious, you don't have a faith you subscribe to, or you don't have you just don't believe.
Oh no! I mean, I've listened to the entire Bible. There's a lot that you could discard.
Yeah.
The Old Testament is so horrendous and so mean to kids and all that. But it's not that I don't believe. That's what the Joe Duffy Show, when they ask this question about the pearly gate, I just get so embarrassed when I hear, what effing pearly gate are you on about? There's no pearly gate, you know what I mean? And one time I had surgery, a small surgery, and when I came out of surgery, I thought, that must have been like death, because I couldn't remember that 45 minutes. And I thought, this makes death easier for me, because it was just blank. That half an hour was blank, and I, or 45 minutes, whatever it was. And I have no memory and could never remember that. So I thought, it made my mortality easier.
Yeah.
It'll be lights out. You know what I mean?
You could see, though, that I had the exact same experience, like the poetry, the exact same experience, someone else will have a completely different reaction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I think, like, memory, we live a lot on memory. And I think it's, you'll remember loved ones. You'll remember people who are kind to you. And, they remember that you were kind to them. But the afterlife is a different story, and it's a deep one, you know, like, and if you look at it scientifically, then where do you go? If you talk to a scientist about it, and they tell you exactly what happens when your heart stops. But it's lovely to have the warmth of thinking of a loved one in a safe place. Like, I've often, a few times dreamt of my father, and he always had a light behind him. So I thought, he's in a nice place.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice to think that your loved ones are happy and that they're not roaming around in misery in some trapped apartment somewhere.
Is that the kind of one of the modern versions of the seven circles of hell or something?
Yeah.
But isn't it funny when you describe kind of praying at All Souls Day for the souls in purgatory and how alien that is to, say, my daughter, who's also 8 now, how are kind of people's vision of kind of afterlife as well has evolved. If you ask most Catholics whether they believe in heaven, one would suspect they would say yes. Do they believe in hell? An awful lot of them would say no.
No. And they say hell on earth. They say they're already having hell. But that whole thing of the flames, that was just bred into us. And then there was this awful place in the middle. The purgatory was worse than anything. And just for you to have the notion, people caught between the in-between, I find that really interesting concept, because I'd hate to be in between worlds. And, you know, in between anything. I don't want to be in between. I want to be in the chair here talking to you. I don't want to be so dislocated or disembodied like Beckett does in his plays, that part of me would be here and the other part of me would be outside. You know what I mean? Feet firmly on the ground is what I'm trying to say.
There's one of your poems, I wanted to mention one of the poems in the collection to you, and it was, I thought I saw St. Bridget today.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason, do you know why? And again, this maybe brings us back to the point you're making about people's personal interpretation or experience of a poem, because why that one kind of struck a chord with me is the very opening line, pushing a buggy round the estate.
Yeah.
So before I get into the rest of it, you know, which is quite... it's pretty kind of the grim reality of life for a lot of people in this country. But that just evoked the nicest memories for me. Oh. Because when I hear pushing a buggy around the estate, I remember when my eldest, who's now 10, was tiny and the podcast Serial was out. And I used to go out and just do laps around the housing estate we lived in Glasnevin, and it would be lashing rain and I'd have him covered in the kind of plastic thing that you'd get with the buggy. And I'd just walk around and around listening to episodes of Serial because I was enjoying it so much. But it was just the nicest memory.
Yes.
And then as I read the poem, I guess it's kind of gratitude or something maybe is the emotion it evokes in me because of that. Is because
you associated.
You know, I was like the character in the poem, in like on the face of it, walking around in misery, soaked to the bone.
You were St. Bridget.
Yes.
You were my St. Bridget today.
Except I had a house with the central heating on to go back to the expensive iPod in my phone playing the podcast.
And the reference to people with their overcoats wearing, I was canvassing for Catherine Connolly one time, and in my own estate, I live in a corporation estate, and lots of people had their overcoats on in the house because they couldn't afford the heat, to have the heat on. So and you talk about around with the buggy. We like to associate. I'm like that too. Like, I wanted to go to see Harry Clark's Window because it's about, there's St. Judas in it. And I have, not St. Judas, Judas Iscariot. And I have a Judas in a poem. So we do make associations, and it helps our memory as well.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing.
Actually, it's funny to say a nice thing, because the other thing I wanted to mention about the book was Brendan O'Connor's lovely foreword. And he talks about kind of your meeting, and how does he describe you? I was curious then when Rita Ann came into my life. I liked her, but I wouldn't exactly have called her nice.
That's okay though.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm not that nice. I appear nice to you today because I've just met you, and I am a nice person. But there's I can be quite barbed too. And but the not nice he was talking about, because he doesn't know me personally, would be the not nice he'd get from the poems.
Yeah.
And he was spot on, you know, because I could fairly fire them out there around COVID, and they were often aimed at whatever was going on in the country at the time. I think it was a good sharp observance on his part.
Yeah, he's a sharp observer.
He sure is.
Brendan, how do you now reflect on that kind of role you played during COVID?
Well, you see, to everybody else, it was a role I played, but I didn't know how big it was until I'd go somewhere. And like one day I was... I used to do it from my box room. you could be in any shape of dishevelment and nobody would know. I wasn't in a studio. And then after that, I'd go up the road to visit my daughter. And one day a man said to me, I heard you on the radio a minute ago. So it was that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And people always... Brendan O'Connor's name is brought into every association. Anyone, I just did a reading there in Newcastle West, and every last one of the audience said, I heard you on the Brendan O'Connor show.
Okay.
So like, I didn't know that it was as big as it was, but it was great for me to write those poems and then to be tuning into what was going on in the news so that I could they were almost journalese in part, you know. It was kind of reportage of some sort.
Yeah.
And then for me to add whatever I could add to kind of beat them into shape.
Yeah, he calls you the poetic first responder, I think. Is that how he describes it at one stage
nice,
as well?
That's generous.
Which is nice. Have you ever regretted any poem you've written? You talked about some of the kind of the barbs maybe therein.
No, I don't have regret as such. I just wouldn't have the desire to hurt. I don't want to hurt anyone, never did. It happens sometimes, you know, but I wouldn't have the desire to do it. So I don't regret. You know, when things are done, they're done. And, you know, if you've murdered someone, that's a bad thing to do. But I think everything else you can work around.
You haven't murdered anyone.
I haven't murdered anyone.
Not yet.
No, and I never will. No, I'm that part of me is nice. I have no.
The Long Weekend by Rita Ann Higgins. There's a foreword, as I mentioned, by Brendan O'Connor, available in all good bookshops now. Rita Ann, listen, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, the pleasure was mine. Thanks a billion.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.